Me, if you would please, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Now, before I go any further here this evening, I just want to stop for a moment before I get any further into this. And I want to let everybody know that is listening here live in the service tonight, and anyone that may be listening online or may go back and listen later online, that there are going to be some things that I say tonight that are not popular to society and goes against everything that you hear in mainstream America. But I want to remind you tonight that mainstream America, mainstream China, mainstream Iran, mainstream Russia, none of that matters. We align everything that we believe, and the final authority that we have is upon the Word of God. Now, everything I've got to say tonight, I can back up with Scripture. But unless you wanted to be here for three consecutive hours, I'm not going to do that. I did it a few weeks ago in many of these categories that I'm going to speak to you about. But you can research it, or I can give you Scripture for it, just in case there is any doubt that you have confidence in what is being said here tonight is not based upon the fundamental truths and principles of God's Word. I encourage you to study it out yourself. Now, if you found your place in Acts chapter 5, join me and rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 5, it opens with that familiar, that intriguing story of Ananias and Sapphira. As a result of their deception and death, that tragic story of that, by means of a miracle of God, by the words of the Apostle Peter, the hatred of the apostles, the Christians, as we discussed this morning, had risen to a level that it never had been before in their day. The religious rulers and the Roman government authorities, they knew that they had to do something to stop the move of God that was going on. Knew something had to happen. And so they needed to put some things in place where they could silence and stop God's people. And so in this scene, picking it up in verse number 17, we see parts of this that is unfolding. And the Bible says in verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation," a strong word right there. "They laid their hands on the apostles," that is the Christians. And there was a great group that was all combined right here. "And they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said," aren't you grateful that there are some angels of God that will minister to our needs when we need them the most? Look at what they said. They said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now, the story continues to develop. There was confrontation that happened, as we'll study in just a moment. But I want you to look with me now, skip down to verse 29, and notice what you will recognize as the response of Peter, John, all the apostles, and these Christians. On into verse 29, they said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Did you know that was in the Bible? You ought to obey God rather than man. Now, where is the line that is drawn? It's drawn when man tells you to do something that the Bible tells you not to do. Or vice versa. You align yourself with God and His words. And that's what we're seeing happen here in this particular passage. Everything politically, economically, morally, and certainly spiritually, it was going against the people of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a tsunami. It was a tidal wave that was about to sweep the church out into the sea of extinction. The people of God knew this. They recognized the problem. And they knew they had to do something in response. Thank God for some Peter and Johns that were willing to do some things in response. We need some Peter and Johns. Maybe God is calling you to be a Peter or John in this place here tonight. So as we continue and we study this passage, I think that we can see there's some pertinent things to our lives tonight, to our world in the United States as we are living in it. And so I want to speak to you on this thought, and I want you to get it in your heart. the secret to turning the tide. Write that down, and you need to write it in your Bible, type it in your phone, stamp it in your heart. The secret to turning the tide. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Israeli settlement, it is called Netzarim. It is in the heart of the Gaza Strip, was a point of much contention with militant Palestinians, and it was that way for several years. The conflict was so great for a period of time that in 2005, they actually had to evacuate the settlement. Those who lived in Netzarim, they did so at great personal risk to themselves, but they felt like it was necessary to preserve the freedom of their land. They were making a statement, is what it was. There was a school teacher who lived there. Her name was Shlomik Ziv, obviously a Jewish woman. She lived there and she said these words. They caught my attention some time ago, and I quote, listen closely. She said, "I don't live where it's comfortable. I live where it is important to live." Now, I want to say that again. I don't live where it's comfortable. I live where it is important to live. I wonder what would happen in our world today, our nation today, but particularly in our churches, in our homes, our hearts, and our lives, if believers would stop trying to live what was comfortable and what was popular and start trying to live for what was important and what was right. As mentioned, there is a tsunami. There is a tidal wave that is viciously rushing onto the actual shores of everything that we stand for as believers in the Word of God. And I am telling you this evening that it is time for the people of God to rise up. It is time that we stand up and do anything and everything we can to turn the tide that is coming against God's people. We do this based on the authority of the Word of God. You'll hear that throughout the message. And we do this led by and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't do it in the flesh. We don't do it outside of the parameters of God's Word. There are some debates you don't need to get into. Amen? There are some debates you will never win. You stand on the authority of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit backwards here than what I would normally do, and that is I'm going to go ahead and give to you the answer to the secret of turning the tide. And as you write down the title, "To the Secret of Turning the Tide," out beside it, you just need to give the answer to it. The answer, or the secret to turning the tide, is in a little two-letter word, and it is simply saying, no. That is the answer to turning the tide, is having the courage on the authority of God's Word and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Application today, but let me first say no. I'll explain more about it as we make our application today, but let me first of all set the stage by talking to you about the opposition to Christianity. The opposition to Christianity. Now, if you know anything about this passage in Acts chapter 5, then you know that the New Testament church is in its early and its infant stages. And folks, let me tell you that the church of God in Acts chapter 5, it was absolutely on fire. It was mowing down anything and everything that was ungodly that got in its way. As a direct result of that, and as a result of the delivered saving grace of God that was sweeping throughout the region, lives were being changed. God was doing a mighty work. These religious rulers and the Roman government, they were losing their grip and their authority on the Jewish people and on the money of the Jewish people, and money talks. And so therefore, there was a concerted effort that came together to be able to slow and stop the move of God with full intentions of totally doing away with Christianity. This opposition, it led to an outright hatred against Christians. And make no mistake about it, that outright hatred, which by the way, it was driven by and under the control of demonic power, the devil was in control of it, that outright outright hatred had demonic influence in it, and because of that demonic influence and the devil that was in the middle of it all, they were trying to eliminate Christianity and everything that God's people and His Word stood for. Now, church, listen to me very carefully. The crazy things that we are seeing go on in our nation today, in many lives today, we need to know and we need to be very clear, these things that are against God's people and Christianity and the Word of God in general, they are driven by people and people groups that are demonically influenced. The devil has indoctrinated and totally taken over their mind. In the Acts chapter 5 day, the devil had gotten into the minds of these religious leaders and these government rulers in such a way that they had totally lost their mind. They had gone slam mad crazy. And that's what we're seeing in America today. The people that we have in the elites, be it in Washington, on the left or the right coast, whichever it may be, the reason that we are debating what bathroom we're going to use, whether only women can have babies or not, and every other thing that you want to talk about here, it is because the devil has crept into some minds. They have been turned over to what the Bible declares as a reprobate mind, and the devil has influenced them in a way that they have gone slam crazy. They have lost their minds. Donald Trump, whether you like him or dislike him, I'll be honest, I'm on both sides of that in some aspects of it. But I tell you what, Donald Trump from time to time will say something that is right on target. And it was just Friday at Mothers for Liberty Conference that he was speaking, and he said these words, caught my attention, I wrote them down. He said, "You have to be an activist today, because we are dealing with crazy people now. You have to be an activist now because we are dealing with crazy people." The early church, they were experiencing this very thing. They were experiencing demonic influence, people that were against them, and people that had totally gone crazy in every way. And so when we consider this opposition to Christianity, Peter and John and all of these other Christians, they learned that it was an organized movement against them. An organized movement against Christianity. And you look in verse number 17 and you will see it. Look in your Bible with me. The Bible says, "Then the high priest, they rose up, and all they that were with him." In other words, there was a company, there was a multitude that was there, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. There is that hatred that was driven by the devil himself. And you understand, friends, that a hatred against God's things is always driven by the devil. There are some things you don't have to debate. And when somebody is pushing aside God or getting Him out of the way, that is demonic influence. Be aware of that. Skip down further on into verse number 21 as we see this further. "But the high priest, he came, and they that were with him." There they are again. Do you see the group? "They that were with him, they called the council together, and all the senate of," look at this, "the children of Israel." Do you see both sides of this now that are involved? They were literally right here building a coalition. They were quite literally trying to get everyone on their side as they were creating this move of opposition against Christianity and everything that God and His Word stands for. In the entire history of the United States of America, we have never experienced more of an organized movement against the people of God, the principles of God, and the plan of God, and the promises of God than that which we are experiencing right now in our very own country. Never before that we know of that there has been a greater movement against it in the United States. In December of 2020, a dear friend of mine had a conversation with a high-ranking official in the West Wing of the White House in what turned out to be
be the final days of the Trump administration. And this lady told my friend these words. She said, the greatest difficulty about this that we are facing right now, as there was still some limbo in the election of what was going to happen in the 2020 election, they said the greatest burden that we have about this right now is how that our hearts break, and she was speaking for Mr. Trump, how that our hearts break because of people just like you. She was referring to the Christian because she went on to say that there is about to be a movement of hatred and opposition that is about to come against Christianity that our country had never seen. And I look back over the last 2.5 years and I'm telling you, that lady was right. If I called her name, many of you would recognize her and the influence of her family through the years. There has been an organized movement of Christianity that has come against the church and the people of God and the Word of God. I want you to think about it. Washington has come against Christianity with its unconstitutional executive orders, and church, they are unconstitutional, and their immoral, ungodly legislation. They've come against Christianity. Media outlets have come against Christianity because of the outright lies or half-truths in their story that they tell about the Christian. Hollywood has come against Christianity in the past 2.5 years like never before because they are producing material that is making the Christian, the moral person, look like the creep, look like the bad guy, or look like the biggest goof that is in town, and they are making the immoral person, the ungodly person, living a life in violation to God's word in every way, look like the biggest hero that has ever lived. The music industry is coming up. Has come against Christianity through artists, Grammy award-winning artists, as I mentioned some months ago to you, like Sam Smith and his production of Unholy Song. The song Unholy was written and performed at the Grammys in direct violation to the Word of God, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that worships the very God of heaven and bows down to Him. The song Unholy flips it around and has the devil sitting on his throne in hell and demons worshiping the very devil himself. The public education system has come against Christianity by the outright ungodly, immoral things that they are attempting to teach our children in our day today. On November the 8th, 2021, it was reported for the first time that a Missouri high school had just crowned its first male homecoming queen. Right there it is. Its first male homecoming queen. They are sexualizing our children. That hit mainstream media. That came off of Apple News. The entire world had that sent to their iPhones. Everybody had access to that. A male homecoming queen. And you see the title of the article. This is in a Missouri high school in the United States of America. A male homecoming queen. I want you to understand tonight, you need to know what's going on in your school system. You need to make sure that these ungodly people that have kicked God out of it, as we talked about this morning, that they are not indoctrinating your children with anything that takes them away from the things of God. They are to teach them the basics of fundamentals of the reading and writing of an arithmetic and nothing beyond. And a mom and dad should not allow them to exceed any of those things other than the basics they need to educate themselves to survive in life when it comes to those matters. Let me go further. Corporate America, companies like Target, companies like Kohl's, companies like Coach. You know, the list is so long right now, I can't even name them. They have all come around and gone against Christianity. Many beverage companies have done this. They have come against Christianity because of their marketing of abominable sin. Amen. It's blatant, and it's right in our face. The list is so long, I can't even name them all. I have boycotted Cracker Barrel for at least the next 11 months. And I'm going to give them a chance, and they have heard from me. By the way, if you decide to boycott somebody, you call them directly and let them know that, so they know there's a problem. Otherwise, they'll never know. I said, my business is not going to cause you to go out of business, but I'm doing my part. And unless they change their direction, I'm going to do it for 1 year. I will never step back into a Cracker Barrel even again. How far have we sunk? When we can't even do that, professional sporting events have come against Christianity. The Sisters of Perpetual Whatever, Dodger Stadium 2 weeks ago. Did you see that? It's disgusting. An organized movement, transgender cross-dressers, crawling on top of the cross of Christ with somebody who was supposed to be Christ on it. Pure blasphemy. Pure blasphemy. And yet we just let it happen. We can't even go to a baseball game anymore. Mickey Mouse. Disney has come against Christianity by supporting school material and programs that informs and influences third grade children and younger, all the way down into kindergarten, about gender neutrality and gender identity and transitioning. You say, no, 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 that's not true. You need to go do your homework.
Amen.
Let me assure you, I have done my homework on it, and it is true. They are sexualizing your children.
That's right.
And it is subtle the way that they have gone about it. On May 31st, 2023, just a few weeks ago, a video surfaced of a Disneyland, that's in California, a Disneyland employee, a male employee, with a mustache, wearing makeup, and in a costume Disney dress, escorting a little girl through their retail attraction. Did you know that everything Disney anymore no longer says, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? It's dreamers of all ages. Thank God for some companies through the years who provided some good, clean entertainment as Disney did. I just can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. If you can, that's between you and God. I just can't do it anymore. I thank God that there have been people that have stood up to the point that Disney is even having to look at selling some of their brands because they've lost so much money. I just can't do it anymore. Upon the authority of the Word of God and under control of the Holy Spirit of God, we need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, these are sick, these are mentally demented, satanic, influenced people. I could go on and on with example after example. We don't have time for that. I'm just letting you know that the organized movement against Christianity, it is everywhere. Everywhere right now. Peter and John and this church, these leaders that were in the church, these followers, these believers, they were experiencing an organized movement against Christianity, but that led to some outrageous mandates. They were having outrageous mandates. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, and they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. Now, the common prison, this was just something simple like the county jail that you could go to, or the city jail. It wasn't the state or the federal jail. It was a place, a temporary holding place of sorts that they could take them until they could figure out what to do with them next. Now, the only reason that they did this is because that's all at that point that they could get away with. If they could have done more, they would have done more to them. But that's all they could get away with. That's how wicked they are. You want to know why that there's not more persecution against the Christian in the United States? Because it's about as far as they can get at this point.
That's right.
But they would take it further with if they could, and they will. The bottom line with Peter and John right here is they were trying, these Sadducees, these religious rulers, government leaders, they were trying to silence and censor their message and their methods of the Word of God and everything surrounding it. The number one agenda of this ungodly world that we are living in right now is to silence your voice as a Christian.
Amen.
It is to silence the move of God. And listen, to our shame, the reason they've had so much success and the reason that we are in the situation right now is because we have let them silence us. Or we have expressed ourselves outside of the Spirit of God and the control of God's Spirit and in the flesh. And as a result, we have lost our credibility. There is a fine line that's got to be walked there. Because we have been silent, they have gotten things set up now in such a way that if we even dare to say a word about any of these things, we are labeled now. We are censored. In many cases, many have already been arrested, threatened as being domestic terrorists, hate speech, and hate crimes. I'm talking about mandates against Christianity. I heard that this happened in our very county. I heard this last week. I have not been able to confirm it, so I'm not going to say further about it concerning the very school and the Board of Education. If I knew for sure, I would. But I do know that it has been said that it has happened in other states. Because there has been some children in schools, high schools, that now identify as a cat. And as a result, the school board has sent out letters to all of the parents saying that they are now putting litter boxes in all of the bathrooms in the schools. Because some kid identifies as a cat. Our children are being mandated to go to school in such filth. And the reason it's gotten to this point is because you and I, Christians, have sat by in silence. Part of this whole mandate that had come about during the COVID era was all built upon masking the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and silencing the church, trying to shut down the very moral fabric of a nation that was built on the church of God. They have key words, did you know that, in their servers on social media, Facebook being one of them. They are monitoring our broadcast at this very second, and they are looking for certain words for every opportunity they can to shut us off. And they will.
That's right.
They will eventually. To censor us and to silence the message of the Word of God. They have leverage over it because the people, the powers that be, are okay with it. God's people have got to rise up. Because there is the organized movement and the opposition to Christianity. But I want you not only notice the opposition to Christianity, but there must be the outcry of the Christian. The outcry of the Christian. The apostles and the Christian church right here, they were under fire like they had never been before by the organized movement and mandates against Christianity. So what did God's people do in their day? Now remember, the secret to turning the tide is in that two-letter word. Somebody tell me what it is. No, that's the secret to turning the tide. And Paul and Peter and John, they learned this first of all, and they proved this first of all through a divine call. These guys were called of God. Know why they were able to say no? It's because God was real to them.
Amen.
God was deep inside of their heart. He'd gotten a hold of them. They understood that the call of God from Calvary rescued them from hell one day.
Amen.
And they realized that it was something worth standing for.
Right.
So Peter and John, they simply said, no. We understand now in the setting of our story, everything's built on the Word of God, folks. Rabbit trails do not exist. They're built on the Word of God, okay? And so Peter and John right now, they are in prison. They are in jail at this moment for doing nothing wrong whatsoever. All they did was speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verses 19 and 20 say, look at it and follow it with me, as they're in jail, but the angel of the Lord by night. Aren't you thankful that God can work at night just like the devil can work at night? The angel of the Lord came to them and came by night and opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. I'm not just letting you out. I'm letting you out for a purpose. Go. Stand. Take a stand, they're saying. And then open your mouth and speak in the temple, the very place that you were at that got you in trouble the first time. Speak in the temple. Now, some may be wondering right now, why did they get in trouble for talking about Christ in the temple? Well, you need to understand, they were still battling the old law right there. Acts is a transitional book. You had the old Jewish law that was going on. At that point, the old law didn't matter. They were teaching the truth in the Old Testament temple. They were teaching the truth. That's why these religious leaders didn't want it anymore, because they were losing their jobs. They were losing their authority. They say, go instead. Teach in the temple the very words of life, the things that you have been teaching. You see, Peter and John, they had already received God's call. Do you remember around the Sea of Galilee, the Lord came to them and called them into the work of God. It was confirmed and assured to them there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was promised and the Spirit of God came upon them saying, this thing is real. But now the pressure was on. They were in the very heat of the battle. Their lives were being threatened. They were really in trouble now. And so what we're seeing before us in verses 19 and 20, it is merely the affirmation of the call. God was just simply letting them know, you're on the right track. No matter how hard it may seem, you keep standing for what is right. Now, the difference between Peter and John and those Christians and most of us today is that they not only accepted Christ, but they surrendered totally to the lordship of Christ in their life and the God call that He had placed on their life. They could see the big picture. They realized their life was not about them. Their ultimate goal was to please God. So many of us, we truly are thrilled about being saved. I mean, we're saved, and we really do know that we're saved, but we're just skipping and skating through this life right now. We do not really see the big picture. We don't see that time is running out before our eyes, and we don't see that God has called every one of us to have an integral part in this work of God and to fight for the sake of the gospel. And when the fight gets hot as a result of that, so oftentimes we cave, we cower, we comply, and then we conform to the opposition just to keep our comfortable lifestyle or to keep the peace. Anthony Bass was a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Did you see this? It was just last month, during the middle of the height of all this so-called pride stuff. And Anthony Bass spoke out, dealing with it, and said a man was a man and a woman was a woman, and people could take that position and it would be fine. Did you see his press conference as he was forced by the Toronto Blue Jay organization to apologize for making such a statement? Peter and John simply could not do it. They simply could not apologize. They did not care if the Toronto Blue Jays or anybody else liked it or not. Amen. Why could they not apologize? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there was a passion, there was a purpose, there was a place, there was a plan, there was a person that was stirring within their soul that was so big that they would not say, I'm sorry for standing for a God who loved me and saved me. I will not apologize for that. It was a divine call that was upon their life. Why do you struggle so bad with saying no to ungodliness? It's because you've not gotten a hold of the divine call of God. Amen. that he has placed on your life. With that divine call with Peter and John, there came a determined continuation. Hey, so you ain't stopping us. Forget you. We're going on with God. So as time continued to pass in this particular scene right now, at this point, Peter and John and all these other Christians that were with Peter and John, they are miraculously released from prison, the Bible says, by the angel of God, and that was upon the authority of God. They were released from prison at this point. And I read this, and as I read this, to be honest with you, it's so entertaining to me. Because Caiaphas, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin would have been involved. You know, the organized movement against Christianity, they didn't even know that they had been released from prison at this point. While these God-hating organized movement against Christianity, while they were tossing and turning at night, while they awoke the next morning and reconvened about this particular matter, the angel of God had already walked past the prison guard, used his heavenly master key card, unlocked the door of the prison that Peter and John were in, carried them out of it straight past the prison guards without them even seeing it. And just in my imagination, because it was still at night, I have to believe that he carried them to the downtown Jerusalem Hilton where they could have a good, clean, fresh bed to sleep in and a hot breakfast to eat the next morning with waffles. Yummy! You've got to love that.
Amen.
All while this crowd was in miserable, tossing and turning in their beds at night. Why, these guys were just enjoying the goodness of God. So after all of this, what did Peter and John do? Peter and John went straight back to the very place where they were when they got arrested in the first place. They had gone back to the temple and they went back to preaching the good, glorious news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It would have been easy for them to have just slipped out of town after getting out of prison in the darkness. It would have been easy for them to have just laid low for just a little while, eventually submerged again in another nice, quaint country village of Israel, maybe Galilee somewhere, and then started a new life and lived a life of peace. But they didn't do that. Why? Hey, they didn't care what had happened to them. They didn't care what could actually happen to them. They said no. And we were determined, they were saying, determined to continue in the great cause and work that God has called us to do. Boy, I tell you what, there are a lot of things lacking today in the average Christian's life, aren't there? But you want to know something that's lacking in the life of believers today more than anything else, and it speaks to this very matter. Good old-fashioned determination to get the work of God done. Because you have a late party on Friday night at the church doesn't mean you can't come to visitation on Saturday morning. Determination will do that. Just because you have a party Friday night and a visitation and a Bible study on Saturday half of the day doesn't mean you can't come to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. Doesn't mean that we can't have good attitudes, be awake and alive because we're saved and on our way to heaven. Determination will do that for you. These guys were determined. They said, we're not going to stop. They said no. There was the outcry of the Christians. It was all stemmed and fueled by a divine call. It led to a determined continuation. But with that, they knew, and it did happen, there was going to be a defiant confrontation that was going to come as well. Now, when we put our minds in the story, as I mentioned a moment ago, it can be comical. It can be quite entertaining. Because this organized movement against Christianity and the move of God, as they were reconvening in their nice, plush conference rooms and courtrooms to continue to hear and debate this issue, they were thinking that Peter and John and these Christians were still safely tucked away in the prison, when in reality, they were free as a bird. So beginning in verse number 21, we notice the word of God. They had sent, the Bible says, officers to go and get them. But when the officers got there, they realized that they weren't there and nobody had a clue where they were. They come back and they tell all of these religious leaders, all of these government rulers, they say, they're not here. And as a result, these ungodly, this organized movement against God and Christianity, they were dumbfounded and they were furious. But after a brief search, it didn't take them long to find where Peter and John were. They were right back with no fear, standing and preaching the Word of God. So what do? They bring them back to them. I mean, they were white hot. They really were. They bring them back to them. And the account unfolds before our eyes in verse number 28 at what they said. They said, did not we, look at this, straightly command you? Boy, we're hearing that in our day today. They're telling these preachers, did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name, that is the name of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You notice they said it's not the Lord's doctrine. They said it was your doctrine. They didn't believe in Christ. What would happen in Lafayette if we saturated and filled this town with the doctrine of God? The doctrine of Jesus Christ. What would happen? Everything would change in this town. And they go on to talk about how they're trying to put this blood on their hands. But look at verse number 29. The Bible continues to say, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, here it is, we ought to obey God rather than man. Looked at them straight in their face, Joel, straight in their eyeballs, and said, no, I'm going to obey God rather than man. Do you think you could have said that to somebody that had a sword and could have put it through your throat at that very moment? I'm going to obey God rather than man. You know what these guys were saying, don't you? They were saying, no, we will not allow your hateful, we will not allow your ungodly agenda to silence us from what God has called and commanded us to do. We are telling you no. They are saying that no bullying is going to interrupt our Bible study. No persecution is going to hinder our prayer. No sorrow is going to steal our smile or steal our song. No insult is going to change our identity. No prison is going to stand in the way of our praise to the Lord. No punishment is going to slow down our prayer. They said no threat is going to stop our thunder. We are going to make some noise for God. Christian, upon the authority of God's Word and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, there has got to be a loud, fierce, public outcry against this organized movement against Christianity and the mandates that they are putting upon us. It's time for you and me to stop being silent. The world has done a really, really good job at convincing us that we cannot say no, and that it's too hard for us to do. But you can say no, and it is not as hard for you to do as they want you to think that it is. I encountered something coming back into the United States from Jamaica. I encountered it again when we came back from our trip from the Bahamas last month that I'd never encountered before with international travel. As we were coming through U.S. Customs, I walked up to the counter, and the customs agent that was there was looking at my passport, and he took it, and he looked at it, and he told me to step back and stand on the little foot marker. Some of you guys that were traveling with me, y'all remember this. Stand on the little foot markers and look at the camera. And they said, we want to take your picture. It was an advanced digital picture that they wanted to take of me. I was not prepared for that. I inquired, why do you want that advanced digital picture to me? To which the guy returned and he responded and he said, it is for a new program for DHS, Department of Homeland Security, that they are doing for all people, including Americans, for a new facial recognition program that Homeland Security is doing. I said, do I have a choice? He said, no. I said, well, I'm not comfortable with it, so no. No. Some of you guys were standing behind me. I don't know if you saw this unfold or not. I told you on the other side
what had happened, that you were going to encounter some things. And I said, no. He said, sir, you do not have a choice. You have to have your picture taken. Sir, I am an American citizen. I have a choice. I said, no. I looked at him square in the eyes. I said, no. Out of frustration, he flipped the passport, kind of scooted it back across at me, gave me a glare, and waved me on through. Now, for those are here that are here thinking right now that they already have your picture, they may, but it wasn't as updated and as digital as they were about to do. And for those of you that are thinking you might as well get used to it because that day is coming when you're going to have to do it, you're right. But at this moment, I didn't have to do it.
Amen.
And so I simply said no. Now, you may be comfortable with that. You may be okay with that. And that's fine. That's your choice. But this is my choice. Now, I tell you that story not because there's a huge spiritual emphasis that is upon it. But I'm giving you a personal example of how if you're not careful, somebody will intimidate you into doing something that you don't have to do. And they will manipulate it. They will manipulate it and try to intimidate you into that, and you can say no. Now, you take that principle and you put it into every other walk of life that violates the Word of God. You need to understand you can say no. But the thing is, so few people will. And that's why they're able to get away with pushing all of these people around. You can say no. The education system is doing everything they can to indoctrinate your children. You can say no. You can blatantly tell them, I will not do it. They may say that you're forced to work on Sunday. A big court case in the Supreme Court this week made a big difference. You get it in writing prior to your hire. You can say no. No still works. Not because of your flesh is swelling up. And we got to be careful about that. Not because that you're just even really trying to make a point. But the line is the Word of God. Amen. You can have your picture taken in airports all you want. That's between you and the Lord. That's up to you. I'm just giving you an example of a principle that we need to understand. There's a world out there that will try to tell you you can't say no. But based on the truth of the Word of God, you can say no. Led by the Holy Spirit of God, we must do what Peter and John and all of these Christians did and make some noise and say no to this this organized movement against Christianity. Friends, if this does not happen, and if it does not happen right now with the people of God, look at me and listen to me. Your children are going to grow up in a nation where they know not any form of spiritual freedom. If you care about your kids, if you care about your grandkids, if it leads you to your grave, say no. There are some things you don't have to have. If some 40, 37 or whatever 100 years ago, you were traveling what used to be through the wilderness that the children of Israel came through, and if you traveled over the bridge that would have carried you across the Jordan River, and if you would have landed on the other side, and when you got on the other side, you were looking, oh, a few miles up in advance, the hour was getting late. You needed a hotel to stay for the night. You needed to get gas for your car. You needed to get a meal for your family. And as you punched in the nearest location for lodging, for food, for gasoline, the only place that popped up on your GPS was a city called Sodom. Would you have stopped there? Would you have taken your family into the gates or the city limits of Sodom to spend the night, to have a meal, and to get your fuel before you go on the next morning? I imagine many, maybe not all, but many of us would say, I'll drive 100 miles out of the way, because we know what happened with Sodom. Now, there'll be a few that'll say, oh, but I hear that it's a beautiful place, and it was in their day. Oh, there were some good people that were there. They need me to evangelize it. It'll be okay for us to just go for a little while, and many would actually do it. But I would say that maybe a majority in this room and who may be listening tonight would say, no, I won't go there. But friends, you need to understand the places we're going and the things we're spending money in today are even worse than what was going on in Sodom.
Amen.
The difference is we know the end of the story with Sodom because it's already happened. Those of you that are going to Israel with me, we're trying to work it out. Well, we'll go to where Sodom's set and we'll still see the ash that is on the rocks. You need to understand that unless America experiences revival, and then unless you as God's people and I stand up and say no, that is exactly what is about to happen to the United States in some form of judgment. The secret to turning the tide is just in saying no and standing on it, no matter what anybody else says. And it'll make a difference. And that's what Peter and John learned. There wasn't only the opposition to Christianity, the outcry, because there was the outcry of the Christian, there was the outcome of change. You see, saying no will change some things. The outcry of Peter and John, you know what it did? It brought a change of reevaluated strategy of the opposition. They started looking at this thing different. Beginning in verse number 22, we read of how following the religious leaders, bringing them back into the temple, or bringing them back into the court after getting them out of the temple, how furious they were. They had no doubt every intention of totally ripping them apart. They send the temple police and they get them back into the courtroom. And then we see this unfolding. When they went and they got them, the people that were listening to these old boys preach were so mesmerized by the power of God that was resting upon their lives as they preached, that verse number 26 says, look at that with me. And then with the captains, with the officer, and brought them, Peter and John, these Christians, look at this, without violence. Why was there no violence? Because they feared the people, lest they should have stoned them. Did you see it? They changed their approach. They stopped their bullying. They stopped their agenda. They stopped their intimidations. Why? Because these guys had God on them, and because the people of God had shown up in great numbers, that it intimidated the bad guys. Why are we always the ones that are intimidated and never the ones that are doing the intimidating? Based on the authority of God's word and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Does it not bring any shame to you the way that it does to me that beer drinkers make a bigger statement by handing Bud Light a $25 billion loss, but yet the Christian will still go to Target? The drunk in our day has more convictions when you look at the number than the average Christian today. Brother John, you can't boycott everything. I understand that. Look, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. But those that are intentionally rubbing it in your face are taking sin and smearing it in your face, and we're letting them do it. We're not saying no to it. That burdens my heart. It burdens my heart why that we have a whole month to celebrate sin, Pride Month, but we give one day to the memorialize the veteran who died on the battlefields of our country. A whole month to celebrate it, but one day to salute the veterans that are still living. A whole month to celebrate Pride when we get one, maybe 2 days to celebrate Christianity, Christmas and Easter. A whole month to celebrate abominable sin when one day is given to the founding fathers, presidents that built this nation on the principles of God's word, all because nobody will say no. No anymore. If we read further in the story, beginning in verse number 34, we would learn that a man by the name of Gamaliel, he suggested that because of the volatility, fellows, in this particular situation, maybe we ought to just let them go. Good suggestion, right? He told them that if what Peter and John and these other Christians were really preaching, if it was true, or if it was not true, it'd fall apart. That's right. But if it was true, it was of God, and you ain't going to be able to stop it. That's what he told them. I said, these guys are serious about this business. Or something real. Something real that is about them. They reversed their strategy. Did you know all these people that are pushing you around will reverse their strategy if you just simply say no?
That's right.
Did you hear about the Colorado lady this week that the Supreme Court voted in favor of? I believe her name was Lisa Smith or something like that. Colorado was trying to force her to build websites for gay and lesbian couples and all that other mess that you want to do. You know what Miss Lisa Smith said? She said no. It would have been easy to have just caved to it. She said no. My convictions will not allow it. And God rewarded her and protected her through that. The organized movement and mandates against Christianity, folks, what it did is it delivered a reevaluated strategy, and that led to a rejoicing saint. Quickly, and I'm done. Move on in verse number 41, and the Bible says, and they, that is the saints, they departed from the presence of the council. Look at this, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. For His name, for Christ's name. They didn't walk away whining and crying and moaning and groaning because serving God is just so hard. It's cost me so much. I'll never do it ever again. They didn't do that at all. Ladies and gentlemen, they walked away with smiles on their faces, singing to the top of their lungs, shouting and clapping their hands and blessing the name of God because they counted it a privilege to suffer as Christ suffered for them on the cross. As this world comes against you, understand it's a joy to suffer the way Christ suffered, just to do something in response and out of gratitude for what He did for us. Saying no brings change. It brings change of a reevaluated strategy. It brings a rejoicing saint. It'll put joy in your heart that nobody else will understand. But you know what they did after that? They pressed on with a resumed service as well. Look in verse number 42. You're now toward right here at the end of the chapter, verse number 42. They say right here, and daily in the temple, look at this, and in every house. They went on visitation, by the way. Not only in the house of God, but in every house, sir, there was some worshiping going on in that house. Home worship, I understand that. But they were going house to house, worshiping the Lord in the temple. And in every house, look at it, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ. Do you see it? They ceased not to teach and preach Christ. Say it with me. They ceased not to teach and preach Christ. Say it. They ceased not to teach and preach Christ. Let me hear you. They ceased not to teach and preach Christ. They ceased not to teach and preach Christ. They said, no. We're going to keep on preaching Christ.
Peter and John, they were wrongfully accused. They were beaten. Verse 40 tells us that. They were then threatened with their very own life, but upon the authority of the Word of God, controlled by the very Spirit of God, they said no. And for that situation and for that season, it changed some things. Listen to me, church. The only way we will ever turn the tide of all this that's going on is upon the authority of God's Word and led and controlled by the Spirit of God. We rise up as God's people and have an organized public cry and say, no! We're not going to do this. No to Washington's ungodly legislation. No to media influence. No to Hollywood indoctrination. No to ungodly music, songs, and industry that is out there. No to all of this indoctrination of the public school, the education system. No to corporate America. No to corrupt, professional, or any form of sporting team. If we listen closely right now, we can hear the cry from some first century graves. You can hear Peter right now as Peter says, I gave everything. I gave everything. Stand up and say no. You can hear John saying, I gave everything. Stand up and say no. You can hear Peter from his grave, Paul from his grave saying, I gave everything. Stand up and say no. You can hear Billy Sunday some centuries later saying, I stood for God. Stand up and say no. You can hear old D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards saying, I gave everything. I served God. I was faithful to the end. You now have got to carry the mantle. Stand up and say no. Often when we ask for a person's signature, we'll say, give me your John Hancock. You can come on, Tim. Most of us may not know why that is said, but we've said it, haven't we? Give me your John Hancock. Why do we say this? We say this because of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. There was one signature that stood out above all the rest. That was John Hancock. He was the first to sign the Declaration of Independence, and he signed it so large and so legible that the King of England could read his name clearly. He wanted that man of tyranny to know where his allegiance stood. And it was not with him. His commitment to his country, which is now what we celebrate in America today, the United States, it was so clear that when King George III offered amnesty to all of those in the new land right here, when he offered them amnesty, John Hancock was among the ones that was not offered amnesty. Because his position and his allegiance was so clear that the king said, I'm going to kill you regardless. But John Hancock pulled out his pen that day, as big as he could, signed it, and the world has now seen it. Hear me, church. Come on, Lexi, get that ready. Hear me, church, right now. Based on the size and the clarity of your signature, does your king and even this world, this ungodly movement that's out there right now, do they know where your allegiance really lies? That you're with God. You're not teeter-tottering. You're not straddling the fence.
upon the authority of the Word of God and led and under the control of the Spirit of God, you say no. Do you struggle with the influence and the intimidation, and do you have a hard time just simply saying no to all this stuff that is happening? Tonight, I'm asking you to rise up as the people of God, starting at the church. And if you're willing to walk out of this building tonight and say no. Because this is the secret to turning the tide. Just say no. Rise to your feet. Maybe you need to just